The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Rory DeLaghi with you on this edition, looking ahead to the best of Tuesday's racing. We've got contests to come from Lingfield, Leicester and Catterick. We'll get to those shortly. We've also got the Monday Jury to look forward to, which is looking back at the weekend's action. Tents is all over the place. Hello, Rory. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. Monday's racing, much like Tuesday's, is hardly superb, is it, in terms of quality? But fortunately, we're not too far away from the Cheltenham Festival now.
No, it's, I think we're getting to the stage now where it's we're in March, in a day and a half, and you're allowed then to start talking about Cheltenham without people going, for goodness sake, there's more to life than Cheltenham.
And you can also tolerate the days where racing is slightly a little bit worse in the build-up to it, because you've got it to look forward to.
Indeed. I mean, you don't want to see it, you don't want a falling off of quality completely. Mm-hmm. And what you would like to see, obviously, maybe a slightly better quality racing on the flat, which you do have to a degree as we work our way towards the Good Friday meeting at Lingfield. So it helps to divert your attention a little bit, but the racing over jumps in this country in the next fortnight is pretty moderate. But you know, we'll have to live with it in the expectation it'll just make the Tuesday of Cheltenham Festival week so much more welcome.
Exactly. Right, the Monday Jury then, a feature that we regularly steal from the Racing Post. We mean, no apologies about that. First question in the Monday Jury. With Thistlecrack ruled out of the Gold Cup, who wins and where does the value lie?
Well,
bit of a loaded question, really, isn't it?
given what's happened or has been purported to have happened in the last 12 hours or so, really. It was something of a shock to get back to my hotel room last night to find that Thistlecrack was trading at 7-1 in places for the Gold Cup. Ooh. And it seems that Colin Tizard is having his tendon scanned a second time because they say there's no swelling and no heat in his leg, and therefore they're having a second opinion, essentially. He was reported to have a small tear in the tendon. If he did have a small tear in the tendon, that's it. You don't go, it's only a little tear, let's crack on. If you've got a tear in the tendon, there's absolutely no point in going on for the season. If it was just a misdiagnosis and it turns out not to be what they thought it was at all, then that's a different kettle of fish altogether. But my understanding is that they had a scan the first time, so it's unclear to me what kind of vet would diagnose a tendon tear when it wasn't there. So we shall see what happens today. But it has to be massively unlikely.
Yeah.
Even if they do have that looked at again, that he will be turning up for the Gold Cup.
Well, we're recording this at 1:30 on Monday afternoon, and as things stand, there is no Thistlecrack in William Hill's Gold Cup betting. We are non-runner insurance, though. So, Native River 5-2, Q Card 3-1, Jackadam 5-1, 8-1 then for Outlander and Sizing John, Empire of Dirt 12-1, 14s for Champagne West, 16s for Don Polly and Vroom Vroom Mag, and bigger prices the rest, obviously. Not all of those are going to be turning up, but where does the value lie for you, Rory? Is it something at an even bigger price?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's a tricky one. When you're talking about value in races like this, it's not necessarily what your opinion is. I'm a massive fan of the Tizard Battalions for this anyway. But you know, you wouldn't want to be piling into Native River at his current price. There will be opposition to him without the shadow of a doubt. Because he's come through the handicap ranks, and people want to be against horses like that. So he will drift in the betting. So he's not the value at the moment. Although, as I said, I like him a lot. I think there's a lot to like about his performances this season, particularly the tactical speed that he's shown, which isn't obvious looking at it. Looking at him generally speaking, but if you get a fine tooth comb out and re-examine his runs at Newbury, at Chepstow, and then again back at Newbury again for the Denman Chase, you'll see that in each of those races he actually quickens to win the race before then hanging on again, whereas he's got a reputation of being just a grinder. So he's, you know, the chances are on the day he'll be underestimated, but at the moment he's not.
Okay.
Q-Card has been, you know, pretty much my favourite horse for the last 6 or 7 years, and I would absolutely love to see him winning it. Is he value? Well, he deserves, you know,
deserves respect.
He deserves his position towards the head of the market. Again, people will go 11. No 11-year-old has won this race in the last 40-odd years. What a Myth won it, won an absolutely appalling Gold Cup in 1969 as a 12-year-old, having been hunter chasing. You know, there are lots of stats that have to be busted there. So if there are horses who could shorten up in the betting, we're talking about horses who are a biggish price now who could be shorter on the day. Willie Mullins, I know, was talking up Jack Adam today, and of course he's been second in the last two Gold Cups. When he hasn't necessarily had the ideal prep, he was a very young horse 2 years ago. He was injured in his prep race. He fell at Cheltenham on trials day, and then they weren't sure they were going to get him to the Gold Cup. So the fact that he's finished second in those two races, and he's still a younger horse than several towards the head of the market, means that he could easily go a favourite on the day.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
So going off that, then, the 5-to-1 currently available on him would be value.
Yeah, in terms of how the market stacks up at the moment, I think there'll be very little between Q-Card, Native River, and Jack Adam on the day. So off the trio, if you're playing mathematical value, then Jack Adam probably it. And something like Champion West,
14-to-1.
You know, he's, I don't know whether Henry de Bromhead's doing a media day, but there's half the British media are over in Ireland at the moment talking to Willie Mullins. They're going to have Gordon Elliott. Whether they get Henry de Bromhead as well, I don't know. But
having a great season.
He is. And Champion West, of course, if you fancy Jack Adam, he was second in the Gold Cup 2 years ago, having won the Thiestes off a mark of 145, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, Champion West won that off a much higher mark, carrying top weight earlier this season. And his price hasn't shortened up significantly. Whereas, again, you get the race card and you look at the ratings for this contest, he'll be very close to those at the top.
Yeah.
And so I think he's got scope to shorten up considerably between now and then as well.
Okay. Question number two on the Monday jury. What would you do with Charlie Parks following Saturday's fall? He was running a strange race, wasn't he? Because depending on who you ask, he was either beaten when falling or just coming back on the bridle.
Yes.
Obviously, Barry Geraghty, I mean, that is the big news to come out of that, I suppose, is Barry Geraghty is now out of the festival following that fall. He got a nasty kick, didn't he, fallen off Charlie Parks. But the horse, would you still run it at Cheltenham? Where would you go?
I wouldn't be in a massive rush to run him. And, of course, the issue they have with him at the moment is they weren't sure what race to run him in because the owner's got other candidates for both the Triumph Hurdle and the Supreme Novices anyway. Mm. So, to be honest, on the back of that, I'd be inclined to miss it entirely. But what they'll do is they'll give him a gallop between now and the festival, and if he sparkles and he schools well, then he'll probably go. Nicky Henderson says he prefers the Triumph, and given that he didn't really travel around Kempton.
He looked slow. Not in a disrespectful way, but just as though
it's 2 miles one, the Triumph.
You can just imagine it.
Ground isn't really a concern for him. It's been put up in the past. He missed the race at Cheltenham, missed the Triumph Hurdle trial because of soft ground. But that's merely because JP had two horses in the race and he was never going to run both of them.
Yes.
And
Defi de Soy
ran. He would definitely handle soft ground very well. Nicky Henderson's been fairly blunt in saying, I don't think Charlie Parks would struggle in soft ground in the slightest. And whatever the ground was going to be like for his prep race, he was going to run in it. He prefers the Triumph. I would prefer the Triumph as well. It's going to be an easier task for a four-year-old, but also the fact that it's 2 miles one on the new course, much more of a test of stamina than the Supreme. But there's no need to think on the back of a setback that you need to be working out which race at Cheltenham you need to go for.
No.
When this is a four-year-old with a career ahead of him and two or three big meetings to come.
I was going to say, it's often said, isn't it, Cheltenham is not the be-all
and end-all.
And particularly as a four-year-old, this horse can come back plenty of times.
He's got a lot of scope for the future and he'll jump a fence in time. He's not an out-and-out juvenile hurdler.
No.
I think ironically, I think that's what Nicky Henderson called him. He said, I would call him a proper four-year-old hurdler. Mm. But in that, he's very professional. And he said he jumps tremendously well, which, of course, didn't quite work for him at the weekend. Mm. But he does have scope for the future, and there's no point in rushing him.
Charlie Parks, 10-1 for the Triumph. We are non-order insurance if he doesn't turn up at the festival. Defi Desoy, incidentally, 2-1 for the same race. Next question is, Master Blue Eyes, River Wild and Frodon put up good shows. Do any of the three appeal? I'd imagine that is... with regards to Cheltenham. Of those three, which is most likely to win a Cheltenham race for you? None of them?
I'd say none of them, to be perfectly honest. Although
I love Frodon as a horse, but I don't think he'll win at Cheltenham.
He's not going to go to Cheltenham, is he? No. That's the thing. People were quoting prices for him for Cheltenham. Paul Nicholls has said two or three times in the past that he is almost guaranteed to miss the festival. Now, it may well be that the draw of Cheltenham gets him back in there. But he was 25-1 short and thereabouts for the JLT. It's the only race he's entered in.
Handles his racing well, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, the horse he beat would be about 10th in Nicky Henderson's list of novice chasers.
Yeah.
And he couldn't stay on the track on the straight. He was trying to hang off. He almost ended up in the hurdles course between the second last and the last.
16s for the JLT.
Yeah, well, if you're getting non-runner money back, then that's vaguely interesting. But he's been superbly placed this season. Mm. You had to take your hat off to Paul Nicholls and say he's done a really good job. But this is a young horse who will certainly not be running in a Gold Cup at any stage in the future. It's worth bearing in mind that his chase debut came as a three-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's just a really forward horse who's very professional, and he's making the most of that by beating lesser horses and horses who are more suspect jumpers.
Yep.
He'll win more races this season, but Paul knows that the way to maximise Frodon is to find him the right races, and those aren't at Cheltenham. Master Blue Eyes will run well in the Triumph. He's improving all the time. He looks very tough. And he does jump well, and he was finding plenty for pressure at the end of that race. I don't think if Charlie Parks had stood up, he would have beaten Master Blue Eyes for all. He had the form to do that prior to that. So he will run well, and Alan King Triumph hurdle horses tend to be very reliable.
Also 10-1 for the Triumph.
Yeah, and River Wild was impressive enough, and he's still unbeaten. So it may well be that that the Supreme ends up being a weak enough contest. I mean, when you consider that Mellon's a warm favourite, was a warm favourite for it, he's been weak in the market in the last few days as well with rumours. But it looks a very weak Supreme at this stage. What can often happen in races like that is that a horse arrives from left field on the day and puts up a scintillating performance. But if you look at the ratings for the Supreme, until very recently, the horses who came out best at the weights were either juveniles or fillies or both. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be a sign that it's a poor crop. So River Wild strikes me as being inferior to most Supreme winners, but it may be one of the weaker races this year.
Okay. River Wild, incidentally, is 10-1 for the Supreme. Next question. What pointers were there from the Bet Brighton Ida chases? I wouldn't have thought much, really. The Ida is the Ida. It's very competitive, but it sort of... Well, firstly, it completely knackers horses, doesn't it, for certainly the rest of the season.
It's a pointer to the Midlands National.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit... The horses are running in it. They want a real test of stamina. You know, it's four miles and a furlong with a headwind and very soft ground. Mm. So only the toughest sort of survive that. And the front two are dour thorough stayers who wouldn't count in a race. They wouldn't have the speed for a Grand National, which is a slightly strange thing to say, but that's the way it is. The Betbright is a slightly better race, but it was a bad turnout. Mm. It was a very disappointing field. The winner would struggle to get into a festival handicap, for example.
Lovely ride, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic ride by James Best, and he deserves a huge amount of credit for having the nerve to ride a tricky horse the way he did. But there were a lot of disappointments in the race, and there's not much I want to take out of it in the short term.
Okay. Question number 5. Give us a winner or two. We'll just ask for one. Let's not be greedy. From the festival handicaps. I think this is not an impossible question, but so difficult until you know exactly who's running in what and the weight that it's carrying and the price it is.
We don't have weights until Wednesday, and that makes it very tricky. I've written up a few Irish horses for the handicaps who may or may not get in. Mm-hmm. There's two from the same trainer that most people in this country will only have heard of very briefly because he had a winner at last year's festival.
Right.
One of the shrewdest men in Ireland is Pat Kelly,
okay,
who won the pretemps last year with Maldini. And Maldini has been campaigned with handicaps in mind again this season, mm-hmm, running over trips short of what would be ideal for him. And he's in the Ultima on the first day and the Kim Muir. He is sure to go well, although he won't be missed by clever Irish punters.
Okay.
A few people put him up already. He's also got a horse in the same colours called Presenting Percy, who
that
won.
Is the green with the white.
That's right, yeah. Philip Reynolds, son of the former Taoiseach Albert Reynolds. Presenting Percy. My only concern with this horse, he absolutely bolted up at the weekend, and he's qualified for the pretemps. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be in the Coral Cup as well, but the pretemps seems to be the race for him. My only concern with him is that they ran him at the weekend to ensure that he'd get into one of the handicaps. I think he might have sneaked in anyway, right at the bottom, because the English handicapper will look at the Irish form and he will give these hurdlers a few pounds more than their Irish rating.
Yep.
You need to be 135 to get into pretemps last year, and he's 130 in Ireland. So it was odds against he'd get in. But of course, if you pick up a penalty, you get £5. If you run at the weekend before the weights come out, you've got every chance of going up 10 or 12 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's the slight concern. We don't know what weight he's going to get until Wednesday. But if he ends up on 140 or below, he'd be a big player. As I said, Pat Kelly's very shrewd. He knows how to campaign these horses. Mm. Neither Maldini nor Presenting Percy has had too many races. But they'll both be fit, having run recently. They'll be suited by the ground and they'll be very well prepared. And Davy Russell will have been booked months, if not years, in advance. For the pair of them.
12-1, incidentally, Maldini for the Ultima, and it's 7-1 for Presenting Percy for the Pretemps.
Yeah, I mean, that's a skinny prize.
And it is, but it reflects
the problem with that is the fact that he ran so recently and ran so well. But they're both interesting. At bigger prices, a couple of horses from smaller Irish yards. Tom Mullins has got a horse called Score Mar, who's in a couple of the handicaps. Tom has won twice at the festival with Alderwood in the past. And Scoremar showed very little in his early starts. He's owned by J.P. McManus, by the way. But he was a very good second two starts ago and again finished second in his most recent outing. Both times he probably should have won. He was beaten by a horse called Automated at Navan. And they pulled 20 lengths clear of a very good horse called Gertine. That's very, very strong handicap form. And both Automated and Scoremar are very interesting for handicaps as they turn up. You're looking at 2.5 mile handicaps, the Coral Cup or the Martin Pipe. I imagine Automated or whatever Gordon Elliott decides to send for these will be heavily punted. Scoremar, people might miss that because he's finished second in his last two. But as I said, with a little bit more luck in both of those races, he would have won. And he's definitely going to go into the festival with a decent handicap mark.
And it'll be interesting to see now with Geraghty out exactly what JP does with his jockeys and who rides what and who would be on that.
Obviously Mark Walsh is going to come in for a few, but you know he would have been lined up for plenty anyway. JP will go there with two or three chances, and it seems from the betting on a top jockey, Aidan Coleman, who's been riding a lot of JP horses for John Joe this season, he's going to come in for some rides in those colours as well. So, and it'd be interesting if Aidan did come to the fore in the leading jockey competition at the festival, because you know he's been one of the most talented jockeys here for a fair number of years. He's only had one festival winner, and that's going back about six or seven seasons.
Okay, final question. We're going to have to be quick because we need to rattle through some of Tuesday's action as well. 2 weeks to go. What race are you most looking forward to at the Cheltenham Festival?
Gold Cup. You know, let's hope as many of them turn up as possible.
Yes.
And, you know, if Thistle Crack's there as well, I say so much the better, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Right, we're going to have to rattle through Tuesday's races because we're in Dave Kellner's studio and he wants in. 3 o'clock at Lingfield is the first race that we're going to focus on. This is a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. Plenty of these arrive in good form, including Snocky and Star.
Yes, Snocky and Star is seemingly in the form of his life at the moment. But I wonder whether he and a number of these are just a little bit too high on the weights now. The racing isn't always that competitive come the start of the year. He's won 3 times already, but he's up to a mark of 96, and he's a 7-year-old now. I don't think he's really quite that good for all. You know, he's got plenty going for him in that he's got fitness on his side and he's running very well. And I prefer to be against him here. Dutch Uncle's interesting, having won cozily at Wolverhampton last time out, and he won't mind how this is run. But he's not been the most reliable in the past. And I'm not sure he's the type to put up two solid back-to-back performances. So preferences for Banditry, who's won twice. His last two flat runs have both been wins. He got one in the stewards' room at Doncaster in the middle to late October, and then he won off the same mark the following weekend because he hadn't been awarded the race as yet. Mm. So he won both of those races off a mark of 81. He's up to 86 now, but you know he fully deserves that, having won twice of a slightly lower mark. He's run respectably over hurdles since, but will be seen to better effect back on the flat. And it's interesting, he's got another entry later in the week. So he's the pick for me in terms of handicapping there.
The 3:30 at Lingfield is the next race we're going to focus on. It's a filly's condition stakes over the mile trip. Once again, a pretty small field. Is it impossible to oppose Maison Rose here?
Yeah, well, you can make some kind of case for Carolina, who will be the second favourite on the day, but that pair appear to have it between them. And given that it might not be a particularly truly run race, I think that will suit the Godolphin filly a lot more than it will Charlie Fellows, Carolina, who's a really likable mare, but she needed every yard of it up at Wolverhampton last time out. Yeah. And if this turns into a bit of a sprint for home, I just think Maison Rose will have a little bit too much for her.
Okay, Maison Rose, very hard to get away from in that 3:30. We'll move to Leicester for the 3:40. This is a handicap chase over the extended 2 mile, 6 furlong trip. Once again, it only got the 6 runners in this contest. Doesn't make it that much easier. Some grand old timers in here.
Yeah, it's actually... I could make a fool of myself here, but this looks really straightforward to me because there are three who appear to have a chance, but Drum for Reedy and Hollow Blue Sky were probably flattered by the way the race panned out at Bangor last time out. The leaders fell in a bit of a hole there, and Drum for Reedy and Hollow Blue Sky came from the back of the field to fight out the finish.
Yep.
I think that's slightly flattering form. And Powerful Symbol looks a handicap snip here. Hadn't shown a huge amount until rocking up at Catterick last time out with cheek pieces on and would have won by half the track, but for unseating at the third last. Had it been the second last, the handicap would have put this horse up a stone. But there's an unwritten rule that if you lose your jockey or you don't get beyond the third last fence, then you can't be mucked around in the handicap. So Powerful Symbol gets run off the same mark here. As I said, would have absolutely bolted up. Mm. His jumping has to be a concern because he's fallen in the past as well. He fell at Bangor over hurdles last season. But in handicapping terms, he's probably a stone better than these, based on what he showed at Catterick. And if he does the same thing again, then it should be very straightforward for him.
Okay, the final race we're going to focus on comes from Catterick. It's the 4:50, and it's a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We're likely to have another fairly short price favourite here for the Jenny Canlish team. That's Engus, who wasn't wildly impressive last time, but showed so much more than he had done before and looks like a really progressive type now all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'd say he was wildly impressive last time. I think he ended up beating one of Kim Bailey's by 9 lengths, and I thought the Bailey horse was the handicap snip Milan Express.
That was at Weatherby, wasn't it?
Yeah. Engus was punted off the boards that day, dropping in class and carrying 12 stone. And he ran away with that race. He carries a penalty here, but Jenny Candlish has got a good record when she finds the level for horses like this. She won this race last year with a horse who bolted up under penalty on its next start, and that's exactly what Engus is going to do. His biggest chance of getting beaten is if he nearly laps the rest of them and the judge mistakes the finish.
Okay, fair enough. Engus gets the nod for Rory in that one. Great stuff, Rory. Great talking to you. Enjoy Cheltenham and enjoy the racing on Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.